Howdy do, buckaroos. Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations podcast. It is Tuesday, October 15th, 2019. I have an interesting show for you today. I have two awesome panelists with me. I have Charlotte Henry with me today. Hi, Charlotte.
I like the warning because I know who's coming next.
Also with me today, I have Dr. Mac. Bob Levitis is joining me today.
Warning. Warning.
Hello, Bob.
On your lines. Hello, Kelly. Thank you for having me again.
I'm always thrilled to bits when you have time for the show.
Me too.
Partly because I like to say hello, Bob, because that makes me happy, because I watched TV in the 70s. So, yeah.
Hey, Kelly, it was all a dream.
What?
Tell me about the 70s sometime.
There was a lot of polyester, and pant legs were very, very wide. It's basically nice. All you need to know. Disco came from there, so lots of bands that you enjoy now got their start listening to records made in the 70s. That's about all you need.
Nice.
So we're going to start today with a tiny update to yesterday's browser data situation, where we talked a little bit about Tencent, and it suddenly popped up as part of the explanation if you went in to learn more in your settings about what exactly was happening with your browser data. And Charlotte, you have that update for us, right?
Yeah, I don't think it was suddenly, actually. I think we all just suddenly realized. I think it had been lurking there for a while, possibly since February or maybe even earlier. Mm-hmm. But anyway, we all kind of got our heads around it yesterday. And Hacker News being Hacker News... Someone dived into the code, which is fantastically useful. And it looks like that the only way Tencent get the data that we discussed on yesterday's show is if a user's region code is set to mainland China.
Okay.
Which is something, if you remember, that you, John, and I discussed was a likely... You know, that was probably the case that we suspected that it was. This was probably something that involved only Chinese users or users in China,
right?
Something like that. And that basically looks like what the case is. Your region code has to be set to mainland China, and that's when Tencent gets the data instead of Google.
Right.
That's what it so they looks only, like.
So they wrote the one document for this is where your data might go and sent that out to everybody. But the only people who are actually going to come near having their data in Tencent as if they're in China, if their phone is explicitly set to mainland China.
It appears so. And also we were critical of Apple not really commenting on this. They actually sent a statement to the Register. They actually sent a statement out, Kelly.
What?
I know. It's fairly chunky, so I'm not going to read it out on the show. It's worth going to macobserver.com and you can read it on there.
And there's a link in the show notes.
Yep. The actual URL of a website you visit is never shared with a safe browsing provider, and the feature can be turned off. As we said yesterday, doing that is not something we recommend.
Right.
When the feature is enabled, Safari checks the website URL against lists of known users and displays a warning if the URL data is visiting is suspected of fraudulent conduct like phishing. Mm-hmm. To accomplish this task, Safari receives a list of websites known to be malicious to Google. And for devices with their region code set to mainland China, it receives a list from Tencent. So that's the key bit there.
Yeah.
But it looks like the IP address does go to Tencent if your region code is set to China. Look, I don't think this is going to make many people... It might make people feel better because, you know, it doesn't affect us. Mm-hmm. I don't think it deals with all of the questions we raised yesterday about how Apple is navigating its relationship with China, the Chinese authorities, and balance it out with some of the things it says its values are. But that is an editorial and a show for a different day, perhaps.
It is. And that's part of why we wanted to bring it up, is because yesterday when we were talking about this, we did more asking of questions than answering. We were a little short on info. And we've got more information today. So since it was yesterday's discussion, we wanted to make sure we pointed that out to people. So thank you, Charlotte, for the update. And if you have questions about this, you can keep an eye on Mac Observer. You can always get a hold of us and let us know if this is not your experience or if there's, you know, something else going on you want to discuss with us. You can always send us feedback at observations@macobserver.com. We do read our mail. And you can also catch us at TMO Daily on Twitter, and you can leave comments in the show notes. The other thing we want to talk about today is Catalina. This is where we're going to spend the rest of the show. And we're going to start with Bob, who people will use this phrase regularly. You know, Bob wrote the book on, except that Bob actually is literally writing the book on Catalina.
No, I'm done.
Bob wrote the book on Catalina. So I'm glad you're done because it's out now. So yes. Give us a brief blurb about your book, and then tell us about Catalina itself.
All right. If you're listening to this podcast, you probably don't need that book.
But you might know people who do, and gift giving season is coming.
If you know people who are new to the Mac, the thing is, I write this every year. So it's really Mac for Dummies. Updated yearly for the whatever, you know, cat or California landmark is in season that year. So, you know, I've written I don't know, 17th or 20th revision. So it's really a tight book. I mean, it's been revised so many times and so many things have been tightened up and focused, you know, just improved over iteration after iteration. It's a great book for somebody that's not a Mac user or that's a recent convert or that has never really delved into how things work and, you know, why I care.
Yeah.
It's a very basic book. It's not, you know, a power user book by any means. And I suspect if you're listening to this, you're a TMO person and you probably are not in my market for that book.
But you never know, because I have flipped through some of your other books, and I almost every time there's at least one or two things in there that I didn't realize or that you highlighted in such a way that I sort of went, well, I didn't think that was any good, like was anything I was going to be able to use. But hey, if you do it like that.
You're very kind. And there's lots of good information in those books. It's just that a lot of it I consider really basic, that if you've been using a Mac a while, you've either figured out or you've seen it as a tip on Mac Observer or somewhere else. You know, everybody knows to use keyboard shortcuts. Everybody knows to how you close Windows, you know. But in a book like that, I have to explain every single gumdrop.
Yes, that's true.
So
give us your verdict on Catalina.
My article will come out tomorrow on Mac Observer. Maybe what's today? Tuesday? Maybe Thursday. Depends how busy Brian is. But it's called, hold on, let me make sure I get it right. I'm going to read you the actual headline rather than make it up.
Okay.
It is macOS Catalina is out, but don't install it yet.
So that
there's where I'm coming from. So here's the thing. Number one, I could write this column every year and just search and replace Mojave for Catalina for whatever they have next year. I always tell people, you do not want to upgrade the first week or two.
No.
Just don't do it. Why? Well, let's see. macOS Catalina won't download or shows an error message. Install stalls with estimated time remaining. Installation stuck. Catalina stuck. macOS running Catalina crashes randomly and restarts. Frequent Apple ID update your setting requests. Persistent iCloud password requests. I've had almost all of those, by the way.
Yeah.
Some Mac apps don't work. Well, if you didn't know that by now, I'm sorry, but you've been dead. Because
we've tried really hard to make sure everybody knows that.
Yeah, I've written like two columns now about using this Go64 app from St. Clair Software.
Which is delightful.
To show you what's going to die as soon as you pull the trigger on this upgrade.
Right.
And by the way, I thought I'd mention that you can regress. You can go back to Mojave. All you have to do is erase your disk and reinstall Mojave.
Mm-hmm.
assuming you know how to do that.
Yeah.
And then restore your backup, assuming you have one. And
because, of course, you have a backup. Yes.
Well, yeah. So, okay, moving right along. Printers, scanners, accessories, incompatible or don't work with Catalina Mail, missing data, data loss, Wi-Fi not working, unable to connect to network drives or SMB shares. Oh, and by the way, I own a Western Digital MyCloud Home, mm-hmm. which is kind of a baby, what do you call it?
NAS?
Network, yeah, network attached storage. It's like it doesn't do anything by standards.
Of course not.
It's, yeah, and it worked great until I installed Catalina, and then it died completely. And then the Western Digital, I sent an email to the board of directors saying, "Are you guys crazy? Don't you think people want to know when you're going to update your software so we can use our devices?" Mm-hmm. And none of them has responded.
Oh no! Well,
oh, and their support bulletin board is ablaze with people going, "What the hell?"
Yeah.
Well, I mean, if you used Go 64, you knew that was going to happen.
Yeah.
But if you went to the website, they're saying, "Oh yeah, we're working on a new version." But
yeah.
Now, I trust them as far as I could throw them.
Yeah. Or even maybe as far as you can throw that little baby NAS, because those suckers are heavy.
I'm not done with my list. I still have five more. Okay, trust me, there's about 10 there's more a bunch things more. That go wrong. Yeah, and you know, the problem is a lot of people are experiencing a lot of different weirdness. Mm-hmm. Like I had the other day, I was looking at a window, and all the icons were generic. It's like, what?
Yeah. I've seen that.
Are you serious in a release? And you know, of course, restarting fixed it, but it shouldn't happen. Stuff like that is
it didn't
happen in Mojave.
Yeah,
Mojave was stable as a rock at the end.
Mojave was it took a little while.
It took three updates.
The thing that I will point out:
don't install Catalina until it hits 0.03 or whatever.
The thing I will point out is that I used to do this before we had like social media, where you could get lots and lots of people's data very quickly. You know, everybody's talking about Catalina the week it's out, so you can find out really fast like what's going to happen. I always used to wait. So they, you know, when operating systems started coming out in September, my birthday's in the middle of November. And so I always waited until after my birthday, because that gave it enough time for everybody who was going to jump in head first to jump in head first and see where it all ended up. Like, how bad is everything? You know, I could talk to the Mac user group, because that was how I used to get a lot of information. They would have people who would say, like, you know, I installed it and it was fine. I installed it and it was terrible, whatever. So I always just sort of waited, because there'd be at least an update or two that had happened by my birthday. And then so after my birthday, I would go ahead and install it. It seemed like a good way to figure it out. But that timeline is just compressed now, because part of the reason I had to do that was because I do a podcast, and because I podcast regularly, it used to be a lot more complicated undertaking between operating systems to get all the audio stuff working the way it needed to. So there were times it would be the following year, you know, February or March, before I was installing the new operating system, because
are you the Dave Hamilton bot? Because I've heard him say the same stuff like 10 times.
It's just, it used to suck.
Studio Mac is always at least one generation behind the operating system because of audio apps. And by the way, one of the things in my little folder here of Catalina boo-boos is a email that tells me that my Korg music making accessories probably aren't going to work for a while.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm going to jump in here.
Well, hold on one second, Charlotte. The thing I want to point out again that we've been talking about is 32-bit apps. So if you have any, this one is a big break, because those apps will stop working. Anything that if you've been on Mojave and you've been launching apps and you've been getting an alert about them, they're probably going to be broken in Catalina. And the thing that goes along with that is nobody says you have to upgrade right now, this minute.
Don't.
So there's no obligation.
Out. It's even worse. Because you know those Safari extensions that you have installed that you love, like the ones that tell you when the price is lower and all that kind of stuff?
Yeah.
They all die.
Yep.
They're all going to die, because there's a new mechanism for using web extensions, and mm-hmm. they have to go through the App Store now. And yep. so things like my Evernote Clipper, Honey.
It's broken?
Evernote doesn't, the Clipper doesn't work. Evernote works, but the Clipper, they're diligently working on a new Clipper that will pass the App Store standards, but they don't have one right now. So for now, your option is, if you're an Evernote user like me, you can print it to Evernote, which is way less convenient than clicking the thing on the toolbar.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you for that sharing.
So that went away. But more than that, every other extension, I mean, almost all of the extensions I used to have aren't available anymore. The only one that I have today is 1Password.
Yeah.
And I had maybe five or six that I liked, including the web clipper for Evernote. So all gone. Another issue with Catalina that will get ironed out over time, but isn't yet.
Right. So Charlotte has a very different list of things wrong with Catalina. I imagine it's slightly shorter.
I actually haven't encountered many problems at all.
I figured your list was none, so yeah.
I wouldn't say
you're fortunate.
None.
You're fortunate.
I wouldn't go as far as none, but I had a fairly smooth experience. Mm-hmm. I had a pretty easy... I kind of waited 24, 36 hours or whatever, maybe... It was 48. You know, gave myself a bit of time while everyone was doing it.
A bit.
Uploaded it. It maybe took an hour start to finish, no more than that, to get it all done. Mm-hmm. And then it worked. It worked really nicely. All my apps were there. The only things I noticed that didn't work was Steam. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to have a look into working out if I need to get a new version of Steam or something.
Or Arcade.
Well, obviously Apple Arcade works, but I've got different games on that. But
yeah.
So I need to have a look into that. I've had a few spinning wheels of death. It doesn't seem to be that happy with my Time Machine drive. I have a relatively old terabyte USB drive plugged in. And it's there, and I can access it, but, you know, even moving it on the desktop, it seems to give me one of the spinning wheels of death. I have had one major crash, which wasn't very much fun at all, where the whole system just, even the Finder decided it had given up life. Yeah. The whole thing just was like, no, thanks a lot, bye. I literally just had to pull the plug out and start again.
Yep.
So we had that was fun. But apart from that, I've largely had a pretty smooth experience. As Bob said, 1Password still works. The other extension that I use is Grammarly, and that seems to work.
Mm-hmm. I hadn't even thought of that. I discontinued my subscription because I thought I was better than it, but I'm starting to rethink that. So I'll check that out.
Well,
again.
I'm glad you can go back.
Yeah,
no, I like Grammarly.
Grammarly seems to be working. Pixelmator is working. I'm trying to think of all the other kind of stuff I use day to day. I think I've used DaVinci Resolve since I've upgraded the operating system.
That Final Cut Pro runs great.
Right.
That's good to know.
So all
it
that
is.
Stuff.
It does. It's actually noticeably faster to do a lot of stuff now.
Oh, that's good.
So all that stuff is kind of kept alive. I really like, and we knew I was going to really like it, the split between TV, podcasts, and music.
Me too.
Finally.
But then I wrote iTunes Must Die, so it's no surprise I'm happy with this this development.
You did, and it did need to die.
It did.
It really did.
Kelly said it needed to die. I kind of feel bad. May it rest in peace, but it needed to die. It's much better this way. We've already discussed my love of Apple News Plus, which works really nicely in Catalina as well. Generally my experience has been, for the last few days, has been largely positive. Now here's a silly thing that I want to throw out there, and you may be able to enlighten me on this, Bob. I have a 4K monitor. Have they made, you know, the default background image that they give you when you install an operating system?
Yes.
That normally relates to the title.
Right.
Have they made that image 4K now?
I have no idea. I replaced mine with a gray Welcome to Macintosh circa 1984. As soon as I boot up the new operating system, it gets the 1984 desktop. Sorry.
Yes, of course you do. But
I'll send it to you. It's awesome.
Bless you, Bob.
But I noticed this. This is very silly and very superficial, but it struck me as my computer restarted quite how beautiful this image that they had put on my computer was. And quite how high quality. Anyway, I was thoroughly impressed.
I think the if you have the screensavers from Apple TV screensaver.
Yeah.
Yes.
Screensaver. I think those are 4K because it asked me to upgrade them not too long ago, and they look amazing. So right. I'm guessing
all that
4K
stuff
now.
They do really nicely. Look. As with the beginning of iOS 13, as with all these new things, obviously there are some bits they need to iron out.
Obviously. Yeah. Not just Apple. I mean, a lot of it is waiting for everyone else to catch up.
Right.
Like, here's another little stupid, annoying thing. When you go into, your system settings and you click on storage to see how much memory you have on your various drives left.
Right.
Macintosh HD, it tells me what's used up by documents, what's used up by apps, music, creation, system, all the different things, right? On my Time Machine backup disk, it just says backups and other, which is spectacularly helpful. It used to be broken down into different segments.
Yes.
You know, what photos, videos, what document, like backups and other on a backup disk is not that useful.
It's not.
Do you know what I mean? Like,
oh yeah,
oh yeah, very much
we're
so.
We're back to other, which for years was what is other,
right?
Nobody could answer that.
I have found the syncing with my phone is very good.
That's also a good thing to know. I was actually that was on my list of things to ask you about, Charlotte. Like, how's that going?
iMessage notifications, Apple News notifications seem to happen pretty much in sync. I haven't lost anything on one device or the other, I don't think. I can't think of any terrible incidents like that. So all that so far is okay. I'm getting a lot of this website is using a lot of memory in Safari. Those warnings. This web page is using significant memory. Closing it may improve the responsiveness of your Mac, which is somewhat tiresome. But anyway.
Yes.
But generally, I'm having a positive experience with it, but I probably would go along with Bob's sentiment that there's not much reason for most people to download it instantly. Unless you really cannot bear one more day with iTunes. For most users,
which means it will surprise most people to know that I'm still on Mojave,
right? But for most users, there's not much reason, I would say, to like risk stuff,
right? And part of the reason for that is because of the way Apple is set up and has set up their operating system release and support for those releases, which is they generally will support whatever is the current one, you know, the latest number, the highest number. And then they generally will at least support two back from that. So if you're in Mojave and everything's working fine in Mojave, you can stay there. It's fine. I know that this is one of those things where people feel like they need to be upgraded because it's new and we heard about it in June and I've been waiting all summer. And, you know, that's great, but you also want to give it a minute, mostly because you want to make sure that there is an update. And the reason for that is because, especially lately, and this is something Bob can probably help me nail down a little better, between certain versions of the operating system, Apple has made some fundamental changes. And they're changes that you will never, ever see up front. Like, it's not going to be visible to you. But things like changing the entire file system structure at the base level of the operating system is serious business. It's a it happened a couple of versions ago, but but
true.
It's a big deal, true. And it's a thing that has fundamentally changed the way files interact, the way things operate. And so sometimes that sort of thing can have unexpected consequences. You know, like that was a huge thing that Apple did. There are some Unix things that are happening under the hood right now. If you're a person who regularly uses the command line, there are some things there that may be changed for you, and you may want to be aware of those. If you spend time doing stuff with Ruby, you may want to look into making sure that those things are working the way that they should in Catalina before you pull the trigger. One of the other, aside from the 32-bit apocalypse, which we already did on iOS, so you know we've seen the fallout from it in one form already. Now, macOS is doing the same thing. And additionally, one of the other things that's going to happen when you install Catalina is that you get a read-only system volume. So any of the special tricksy stuff that you used to do in the command line, you know, open up terminal, start something with defaults write, and the world is your oyster, right? Like, that's not the case anymore because there's stuff in the system that can no longer be modified. So if you're using some utility that does something fundamental on the system level, that's going to be a problem for you. And those are the kind of things that don't always show up at, you know, they're not part of the setup screen. Like, you know that none of your 32-bit apps are going to work, right? Yes, okay, I know what I'm doing. Like, there's no button for that. We've changed everything to read-only system volume. Are you sure you still want to proceed? Like, there's no sort of last-minute bailout opportunity on some of this stuff. So those are things that don't necessarily show up. You know, iTunes disappearing, like, that's a very obvious thing that you will see. What that means for your phone or what that means for the other apps that you normally use, like if you're generally listening to podcasts on your Mac, things like that, that's a little different story. So these are the kind of things that we definitely want to talk about. And that's part of why it's probably a good idea to hold off, because we kind of all know that person who's going to go rip snorting in all Leroy Jenkins style. And we can all wait for that person to get there and figure out, you know, how horribly wrong everything has gone. And then, you know, you can make your own decision at that point. Like, if the bulk of what you do is based on apps that come with the operating system and you don't do anything particularly funky with, you know, Pages or Keynote or Numbers or even, you know, Final Cut or Logic or things like that, then you might be all right. But going back, like Bob said earlier, is a very, if nothing else, it takes a long time because you do have to wipe the drive and then you have to install everything over from scratch. So that's another thing to consider. Upgrading in place for most people seems to be about an hour, as long as it doesn't stall in the middle, which some people had trouble with.
Yeah, Andrew had, in his first install, our colleague Andrew had problems on his, when he had a go.
Yeah, I think he got stuck at some point and then restarted and did it again, and then it was okay fine after that. But yeah, so things to remember, things to consider. And, you know, like I said before, like, you're not under any obligation for the most part. If you are under some sort of obligation to install Catalina, you've done it already. I'm pretty sure it's already happened for you.
Hi, you're welcome.
Yes, and if you're not, then you know, it probably is good to hold off. If you did not, if you are Team Charlotte in this case and installed it and like things are good, please let us know that. We do want to hear from people. Generally, nobody heads over to Twitter to go, "Hey, I installed a brand new operating system. Everything's fine. It's all pretty boring. You know, my menus are a little different. You know, that's the only real change." We don't generally hear that from people. So do let us know. Again, that's observations@macobserver.com. And you can get us at Timo Daily on Twitter. And you can leave comments in the show notes. And we like all of those things for you to get in touch with us. Bob, thank you so much for coming by today.
My pleasure. Yeah, it's always a pleasure. Thank you. Invite me anytime.
I'm always glad
I'll
to have you.
I'll about anything. Anything.
I will probably have you back for I will have you back so that we can celebrate the end of an era, the iTunes era of managing your phone. It only
can
took 12 years.
Can we sing the song?
We can. I would like very much to sing the song.
We could play the song on the air because I know the guy that owns the rights to it.
Yeah, I do too. I bet we could call him and get him to say okay.
Absolutely. It's a free download, by the way. Just search the internet for iTunes Must Die free download and enjoy. with my compliments. You can also download the guitar chords if you want to play it yourself, the lyric sheet, everything. It's all free.
That's awesome. I look forward to the B-side now that iTunes is gone, where you write a love song to like iTunes.
Music app,
we're sure glad it's gone.
Suck less. No, music app should suck less. That's the follow-up. That's the sequel. The sequel.
I'm looking forward to it. Charlotte, thank you so much for coming by today to talk to us about Tencent, the update on Tencent, as well as your Catalina experience. And I'm glad it's been good.
Yeah, so far pretty good. There's a few other bits. We'll have some videos and some posts up on the Mac Observer as I kind of get used to the new operating system and find some fun things that actually work.
Yeah, it'll be great.
Where are the Easter eggs, by the way? It's about three operating systems since I've seen a good, new, reasonable, interesting Easter egg. Where are the Easter eggs?
I look forward to your column on this next week.
Tim, did you tell them not to put Easter eggs in? Actually, he couldn't have, because if he did, there'd be Easter eggs.
There would be Easter eggs, yeah.
Right.
Guys, I picked something that used to really annoy me. Anyway, I'm going off to discover if I'm right. Have a good evening, people.
All right. I'm your host, Kelly Gamont. I will talk to all of you tomorrow. In the meantime, be excellent to each other.